Okay, awesome. Race, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, beautiful. All right, I think we successfully used technology, so let's go ahead and get going. Thanks to everyone on the call for being with us on a Friday night. We're really looking forward to this call. We've got a lot of really fun things to talk about. And I was talking with Stephen earlier, who's on the line. This is one of, at least in my opinion, one of the most fun weekends of the year, being Halloween. A great opportunity to meet women, a great opportunity to also observe women because they're usually not wearing a lot, and that's always awesome. So it's a really, you know, really, really fun weekend. Race and I were actually together last Halloween in Austin, Texas, where we're running a program in December, and we had our costumes, you guys, were Baywatch babes. Like, it was a fake swimsuit and big fake boobs, and we got blonde wigs, and it was so funny. We each got our boobs grabbed probably 300 times throughout the night. It was the funniest night. That was definitely one of the most attention-getting costumes that I've worn, so that was a fun one. But anyway, we'll get into that. We're going to touch on conversation a little bit from last week as well. Anyone else on the line that hasn't said hi yet that wants to say hi? Okay, a whole bunch of people. All right. What's that?
They're all hiding.
Yeah, it looks like we've got some, I can see everyone on here. It looks like we've got some people that maybe are on mute. I can't tell. Maybe they're muting themselves. But anyway, okay, cool. So to review last week, we talked about conversation, how to keep a conversation going, how to take it to another level and make it a really fun conversation and really take an interest in the woman or the people that you're meeting, how to ask questions. Michael, I saw that you tried out the childhood injury one. That was awesome. And I think,
thank you.
Unless we get some last-minute entries, I'm thinking yours was probably the most interesting interesting response. So you might have won the contest. Let me bring that up real quick. Okay, so you said you met a woman and you found out she survived a famine in Ethiopia. That's something that I've never met someone that's done. That's pretty intense. Adopted by American parents when she was 8 and is now a yoga teacher. And when she was 11, her parents moved to a place in Beijing, which is awesome. She lived in China. And she tried to slide down, to fill the rest of you guys in, she tried to slide down a banister on stairs and landed and broke both of her ankles. And that was her most interesting childhood injury. Which, speaking of conversation, I mean, just from that one memory that she shared with you, I mean, you can talk about China, being in Beijing, growing up in an entirely different culture. You can talk about breaking her ankle, and that's pretty intense. You know, she's on crutches, probably. She can walk. There's a whole lot of different directions you could take that. I mean, she slid down a banister, so she seemed kind of, you know, it's kind of adventurous. It's not really playing it safe. So is she that kind of person? You know, does she normally take risks or go after things that are really fun? So just from that one question, most likely, that Michael asked, there's a lot of different ways that you can take that conversation. I mean, really, just from that one thing, you could probably talk to her about for 20 minutes. So, Michael, speaking of which, how did the conversation go after that? I mean, did you feel like you actually had some things to talk about?
There was a lot to talk about, but there was not much of a sexual connection, so I let it go. I mean, we're friends and stuff, but it just fizzled, you know?
Okay, so you were friends previously?
No, I met her. But I text her sometimes, but we weren't friends before this, no.
Okay, so you felt like it stayed kind of friendly and kind of platonic?
Friend zone, yes.
Okay. Since that happened, you've had some time to kind of reflect on that. Is there anything that you think you could have done better to head things in a more romantic direction?
Actually, it was me that let it go.
What's that?
I didn't get friend-zoned. I kind of friend-zoned her.
Okay. Were you just not interested in her?
Yeah, kind of. It was I just didn't feel it.
Okay. When you say you feel it, what do you mean by you didn't feel it?
She felt more like my sister than a romantic prospect.
Okay. Interesting. What do you think is the reason? Was she attractive?
Yeah, I mean, she's attractive, sure, but
okay.
Yeah, it's a personality thing. She seemed kind of controlling and not submissive, and I prefer the opposite type of woman.
You said not submissive?
Yeah, right. She's seemed to want to be, like, dominant a lot, and I don't like that in women, so I moved on.
Okay. Well, let's might as well chat about it while we're here. What do you mean by dominant? Like, she has her own opinions, or was she trying to force her opinions on you or her thoughts on you?
Yeah, the second one, yeah. I don't care if she has her own opinions. It was, you know, she's into all this yoga and stuff, so she talked a lot about my diet and my energy and all this stuff that I needed to change. She kind of seemed a little crazy.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So.
Did she realign your chi?
What's that?
Did she realign your chi?
Kinda.
Oh, man.
Okay, well, you know, sometimes you'll run it. It sounds like she was a little judgmental. Is that what you're getting at, or am I off base?
You know, no, I mean, not, like, judgmental in general, but more judgmental than I like in a romantic interest. You know what I mean?
Okay. And, you know, sometimes you'll run into people that just you don't click with, or their personality or how they are just doesn't mesh well. I guess I didn't properly introduce Race. One thing that Race has been doing this for a long time. He's not only has he dated some really incredible women and a lot of them, but I've never met someone who has, or I'm sorry, I shouldn't say never. I've met very few people who have such a great understanding of just human psychology and human interaction and women and how they think. And so yeah, you will sometimes run into people that are just kind of out there, and you'll say no thanks. It's not what I'm looking for. One thing Race is really good at is figuring out, because sometimes you'll also run into people that just have walls up. You know, and just for whatever reason, they don't feel comfortable being themselves or opening up or whatever the case may be. And we're in luck to have Race on the call today, because one thing he's very good at is getting past those things and really breaking down walls and really getting a view into, you know, who is this person or who is this woman that I'm in front of. And oftentimes what you'll find is as you get better at connecting with people and conversations, you know, some of the things we talked about last time, what you'll find is that a much smaller percentage of women will be weird and out there, and you'll want to say no thanks because you'll learn how to more effectively connect with them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, Race, having said that, now that I'm putting you on the spot by talking you up so much, what any thoughts on what Michael shared with us on, you know, on girls like that that just kind of strike you differently at first?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was a similar type way when I was interacting with women back in the day, and it kept me, I thought it was just I was really picky. And as I began to understand more and have more interactions and open myself up more to meeting women and connecting with people in general, I came to realize I was really, and I'm not saying this is you, but I know it was for me, it was a way of kind of a defense mechanism for myself to protect myself so I didn't have to put myself out there. I could find a reason. I was looking for reasons why I didn't like a girl so that I could be like, oh, well, you know, she wasn't my type, so, you know, it wasn't my fault, it's just, it was her. And I could walk away from any interaction coming out on top in my own head. That was just really protecting my own ego a lot of the times. And honestly, it was because I didn't know what to do next, and so I needed to feel like I was still in control. But as I began to grow and, you know, learn from a lot of different sources and continue to grow, I found ways to connect with women where I created a solid identity of who I was, and so I didn't have to worry if people accepted me or not, especially women, because it got to a point where you can't really be rejected if you're not asking to be accepted. And so when these women would talk about things, I was like, all right, that's kind of out there. But you know what? There's a reason behind why she believes in these things. Like, she survived a famine. I don't know. That could have something to do with it. Or they're moving around. Like, this is something that became something like solid belief that she could hold on to and build her identity around. And when you start understanding the underpinning reasons for whatever it is, we all have our own beliefs of, and whatever they may be. But finding out why does she hold on to these, because there's probably a sense of well-being or a sense of purpose that this gives her. And when you start to understand that about people, then it's way easier to connect with them instead of outright thinking, well, you're crazy. Like, I can't believe you believe that. That's good enough fight and butt heads. Because I've found that the way to connect with people, like, we all have different experiences. Sometimes they're similar. And a lot of people think, oh, if I could think of something, like, we both rode horses when we were a kid, then, wow, we have something in common. We could talk about it. But it's not really the experience that brings people together, because what if you hated it? Your parents made you ride horses and you really hated it. Your experience can be way different than hers if she loved it. So that's not really something you're going to connect on, because she's going to be all excited about, oh my gosh, didn't you love this and this? And you're like, not really, I hated it. So what I found is experiences are different, but it doesn't matter, because it's the underlying emotion that are the bridges that bring us together. So, you know, you could have had a similar type experience a world away doing something completely different, but the way it made you feel or change your outlook or on life or whatever made you realize something, that's what you can connect on. So you can kind of let those weird differences of experiences and even ways of talking about things, because everyone has their own way, like language about how they describe certain things. And if you can let that fade away and get into the emotion of why and the underpinning, then it becomes a lot easier to connect with a huge variety of people. Does that make any sense? That was kind of a rant.
It does make a lot of sense.
And so when you, or Michael or anyone else who's been in a similar situation, when you're able to really understand people for who they are, or at least attempt to, because obviously you've never been in a famine in Ethiopia, I don't think, when you can kind of have an idea of where they're coming from and really understand them, and really, once you figure them out, accept what you've found out, because you can't really accept them unless you take the effort to find out who they are. Once you do that, it's pretty amazing, especially, I mean, like Ray said, who knows with this woman who, I mean, she's been through a lot, she's been all over the place, who knows what kind of walls she's built up or, you know, things she's decided in her own mind about how the world is because of her experiences. So you guys may have very different assumptions on, you know, human interaction and the way the world is and how you each fit into the world. And so when you can take the effort to find out who she or any other woman really truly is, you know, what makes her unique, what are her quirks, what's different about her, and then get across the point that you really accept and appreciate who she is as a person, then it's pretty amazing, because like we touched on last call, everyone wants to be accepted and validated for who they really are as a person, no matter how confident, no matter how beautiful. Everyone wants to know that who they really are as a person, that people think highly of them. You know, and when you take the effort to find out about someone like that, oftentimes what you'll find, and I've been in the same situation where I've thought about women, she's weird, she's not my type, whatever. But when you really can get past some of those walls and really see who she is, and we talked about some of the ways to start doing that on the last call, asking questions, taking an interest. It's pretty amazing how you'll find women more interesting. You'll find a higher percentage of women more interesting. And two, the women that you are meeting and interacting with are going to really appreciate it, and it's going to be a huge, huge breath of fresh air, because most guys don't think like that. Most guys don't take the time to really understand them and explore who they are as a person. Because why? Because most guys are too busy hoping that she'll like them and trying to prove themselves. Does that make sense?
Does to me.
Okay, awesome. Cool. So, that was a...
Don't mind, Adam. I'll jump in and say one extra little thing on it. Like, another thing to take into consideration is the other person's motives. You know, let's take, for example, she was talking about diet, and she was, like, talking about how your diet's all wrong and hers is like the way, this is how you should do it. Most people get offended. Don't tell me how to eat. I can do whatever I want. Well, if you think about her motive, is she really trying to hurt you or make you feel dumb? Most likely not. Most likely she's trying to get across what she thinks is the best diet, because that's going to make you feel the best, feel the healthiest, whatever, help you connect with Mother Earth or something. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But the point is, the motive is not a malicious one most of the time. It's just they are really passionate about what they think to be true, and they want to share it, and they just don't know the right way to do it. It might be coming off as a little, like, bossy or offensive, but if you can stop and be like, instead of going, well, whatever, I can get what I want, be like, all right, well, what's so great about this diet? Like, what does it help you do? Like, where do you get this? And just start to understand it's a, most people, like, want to share things that have been helpful to them to other people. There's a lot of them don't know how to do it because, well, they just don't know how to do it. They haven't spent time studying this stuff like you guys are.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Ray. So I'll share with you guys a quick example from my life. I hurt my knee. Ray is very familiar with this. I partially tore some cartilage in my knee about a year ago. I was trying to give two girls a piggyback ride. It didn't end well, as you could imagine. And at first, I didn't have health insurance, and I've been going to therapy and whatnot, but I was hobbling around for a while. And it was funny because so many of my friends weighed in on what I should do to make my knee better. I heard you should be jogging, you should be doing this, you should be doing all these different things. And at first I was like, this is kind of annoying because my friends aren't doctors, they're not physical therapists. But then when I asked myself exactly what Race is talking about, well, why are they telling me this? You know, why are they giving me this advice that may not be the best advice? The reason is because they care about me. And in their mind, they think that can help me somehow. They're just trying to help me. Great point. Is that, you know, what's the reason behind that? She's probably not wasting her breath to tell you all these different things because she's bored. You know, she's.
Can I interrupt for a second?
What's that?
Can I interrupt for a second?
Go ahead.
You ever had sex with a girl, and then immediately afterwards
never.
She thinks she's your girlfriend?
Oh, going in a different direction. Race, I'm going to let you handle this one. This is something that Race is extremely, extremely well-versed in.
I just wanted to clarify that this person that I met with all these great stories, that's what happened that made me go, okay, we're not doing this anymore. And
okay. That makes more sense.
Not that I think that's a bad topic of discussion, you know, what happens if a chick goes psycho on you, but I just wanted to let you know that the reason things didn't end well was because of that.
Okay, and no, that's totally fine. You know, I appreciate you bringing that up because it's really beneficial sometimes to just kind of be able to talk things through, and other guys will learn who may have been in that situation or similar situations or different situations. You know, guys are going to learn from hearing this kind of stuff. So I'm, you know, totally fine with just kind of an open discussion. So
yeah, and why do you think that happened? Was that just blindsiding you? Did it just come out of nowhere, or did you kind of know it was coming and it just became voiced in the actual words, or what happened?
Well, you know, I mean, in retrospect, I think anybody that's gone through what this person's gone through, they would have baggage. So I certainly can't say that I fault her for it. Did I see it coming before we laid down together? No, not really.
Okay.
I definitely figured it out afterwards.
Can you tell me your name again?
This is Michael.
Okay, Michael. All right. Not to put you on the spot per se, but it does, what I'm picking up, a lot of what you're saying is I've never heard one thing that it was anything on your side that you were doing, sounds like you were doing everything right, and she had the baggage, she's the one that's crazy, she's the one that messed up. That's always a warning sign to me. Sounds like you...
Well, I don't think that she's crazy. I think it was not a good fit.
Yeah, well, that's totally understandable. There's a lot of people that won't be a good fit. If you didn't see it coming, I think maybe were... If you didn't see it coming, Michael, let's say you're being maybe a little bit naive in the situation and
probably
not set up.
I wanted to get
rid
of it.
Hey, that's fine. And you can do that without girls wanting to be your girlfriend. You're going to have to be careful of which type of girl you pick. I wouldn't say careful. You just need to be able to set expectations and boundaries up before going into that so you both know what you're getting into. And being able to walk away if she doesn't match that so that you don't cause any woman emotional stress and yourself emotional stress having to deal with it. And because no one here, I think, wants to hurt anyone's feelings. So it's very crucial. That could be a whole 5-call thing just on doing that.
So I did have the talk with her beforehand. You know what I mean? I did say, this is what I'm willing to do, and this is sort of what I'm not willing to do. You know what I mean? Like, commitment-wise, relationship-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, it was okay. And afterward, the rules changed.
Was it just after sex, or did you start spending an increasing amount of time with her as well?
Well, I spent a bit of time with her over the past couple of weeks because I wanted to get to know her. I got too close to her too quickly and gave her the wrong idea in that fashion.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's boundaries that you can set verbally.
Right.
But they only get you part of the way because there's also just the more and more time you spend with someone, it's no matter how much you say you don't want to get closer, those feelings are going to occur. And so you have to realize that and change the relationship, like the status of the relationship and how it's going to interact. So, I mean, I wish it was just as easy as, oh, well, I said this, so she should have known, and that's fine. But, I mean, the main point of being a man is also knowing the nonverbal stuff that's going to happen and how you have to keep that in check as well as far as what you want out of the relationship and what she wants out of the relationship so that
and
no one gets
you guys, he has one thing that will be difficult, at least for some of you. Michael, you took our Chicago program, right?
No, I've not taken a program yet. I'm scheduled for the one in San Francisco.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Then I'll look forward to meeting you. Your name sounds familiar. I don't think we spoke before. I think you took Chicago. One thing that will happen as you guys improve at this, especially as you guys come out of your programs, is that women are going to be really attracted to you. They're going to want to spend time with you. And as a man, it is an amazing feeling when a really attractive woman likes you. I mean, it to this day, it makes me feel really, really good about myself. And so oftentimes, and this happened to me after I started improving at this stuff, is I didn't want a relationship. I wanted to date, a few women on my way to that. But what happened was for the first time in my life, I had attractive women who I always, the kind of women I'd always, dreamed about being with, liked me. And they wanted to spend time with me. And so for me, it was difficult because I wanted to be around them a lot. And so, like Grace said, I would be hanging out with girls really, really frequently. And that just gives the feeling, no matter what you say, that gives the feeling of progressing toward a relationship. Because there's a certain kind of a cadence once you meet a woman and how you interact with her, how often you hang out with her, that kind of develops naturally. And one thing that will be tough for a lot of you guys on this call is that as you improve at this stuff, women are going to want to be around you. They're going to want to be in relationships with you. I can't think of how many, Race and I were roommates for a while. I can't think of how many women wanted to be in a relationship with him. And that wasn't necessarily what he wanted. So that'll happen, and it can be really tough, especially at the beginning as you're getting used to that attention, to not spend as much. And I don't know if you're, how much time you did or didn't spend with her. I'm just saying this as a general rule of thumb that, hopefully some of you guys can take something away from. But as you start to get this attention, it feels really good, and you'll want to spend a lot of time with women. And just realize if you do, that's totally fine, but realize that it's going to progress toward a relationship and toward them wanting more often. It's going to progress faster the majority of the time. Does that make sense?
What's a good frequency to make sure that doesn't happen, say, after you meet her in 2 weeks? How many times should you see a person?
I mean, you'll kind of get a feel for, everyone's different. You'll kind of get a feel for it, as you date more women and have more experience. Generally, if you want to keep it somewhat casual and race, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts, to give you guys some perspective. One time, when I first met Race, he had 4 dates with 4 different women in 1 day. And I was like, this guy's crazy. Also, very good at time management. So, this is something Race is very well versed in. I would say if you want to keep it casual and not progress toward a relationship really quickly, probably like once or twice a week, depending on the situation. But like I said, everyone's different, and you'll start to get more of a feel for it because there's no rule of thumb every single time. Race, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, when I'm dating multiple girls and I'm not in any kind of like a more, I wouldn't say exclusive, but primary girl relationship, I usually have about 3 or 4 in a close circle that I like to see often. But that usually doesn't go more than once a week. And it's also the kind of activities you do, like staying the night, like being there to make breakfast, stuff like that's going to be more intimate than she comes over, you guys hang out, watch a movie, have sex, and she goes home. That gives a different signal. So you got to think not just the frequency, but the kind of things you do together as well. Mm-hmm. Kind of give off, like if you went on a trip together, I think that's a little more involved. So yeah, just keep both those in mind. But honestly, about a regular frequency, and this is just because I, like if I'm dating four or five girls, I can't see them more than once a week anyways, because I'm seeing the other girls the other nights. So that's what's worked out for me in my life, and I've seen of other people that live the same kind of lifestyle, that's about right for keeping it casual, but also being able to get to know each other and have fun.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I see it in different tiers. Like, there's your close-knit ones, then there's the ones you see, like, once a month, and then there's the ones that, like, I have all over the world that I'll go and see for a week, like in Canada, like in Montreal or something.
Awesome. Okay, so unless anyone else has any questions on what we're talking about, which has been awesome, I'd say let's get into Halloween for a little bit, since this is a one-time-a-year occurrence. Does anyone else on the call have any questions, comments, excitement, anything about what we've been talking about the last few minutes? Speak now or forever hold yourselves. Okay. Awesome. All right, so Halloween. Like I mentioned earlier, one of my favorite times of the year. We had Tony wrote in. Tony, are you on the call? We are Tony-less, or he's on mute. Okay, so he asked what we can do for, or any recommendations for Halloween. One thing I would say, a couple things are going on, for Halloween. One is that you have, as I mentioned earlier, when some of you weren't here, so I'll say it again, it's very, very easy to start conversations with anyone, especially attractive women. I mean, last year, when, like I said, Race and I were in Austin, Texas, I talked to a lot of women. I also talked to Steve Urkel. You know, I talked to Hulk Hogan. Like, because I was like, oh, wow, these are amazing costumes. Like, how did you make this? Especially, Race, do you remember Steve Urkel? Did you see him?
Yeah, it was awesome.
It looked exactly like him. It was incredible. I had pictures with him until I lost my phone. But anyway, you have a great way to start a conversation. For those of you guys that are having some challenges with approaching and having some hesitation, I would urge you to get out tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday night, the day of Halloween, because it's such an easy time to just say, wow, that's a really cool costume. Well, if you don't know who they are, you could say, what are you exactly? Or you could say, wow, that's a really cool costume. Did you make it? Or what gave you that idea? You know, how did you decide on that? You could have been anything else in the world. You could have been a Powderpuff Girl and you chose XYZ. You know, how did you? Any question is a great way to start a conversation. So it's a really, really good time to just talk to a lot of women and kind of get used to walking up and approaching women. Also, as you guys have noticed, if anyone's been out on Halloween before, most girls, or at least a good amount, dress somewhat provocatively. They don't wear a lot of clothing. Now, if we look at the reason behind that, what's the reason they might feel comfortable doing that? And the reason is because on Halloween, everyone can be someone different than who they are. You know, women can dress up or, you know, wear very little clothing or wear a lot of clothes, do whatever they want, because it's not them anymore. It's like they're playing a role. You know, they're someone else. So for that one day or a couple days that they go out, they can have the freedom of being someone else and not feeling judged for it, which is really pretty cool, because especially women, you know, in our society, they're worried about being judged a lot, a decent amount, you know, based on what they're wearing. Are they dressed too slutty? Are they going to, oh, what if I kiss a guy at this bar? People are going to think I'm a slut. You know, what if I leave with this guy I just met? People might think I'm a slut. Whereas us guys, we don't generally have that. Usually, you know, if we go home with a girl the same night, our buddies are like, yeah, dude, you know, props, awesome job. Whereas with women, that's something that's very real to them. That's something they have to think about, and they do think about. So for this one weekend a year, they get to let loose a little bit. So it's a great chance to meet them, to kind of push your own boundaries, to be more sexual. Race, what are your thoughts on Halloween?
Dude, I love it. I absolutely love it. I think take the same thing that Adam just said and apply it to yourself. go out and be the you that you've been afraid to be, because no one's going to judge you in Halloween, and you can wear a mask. So you can just, you can try some of these things that were a little too scary to maybe before for you to try this weekend, because everyone's going to be in a good mood. Everyone's going to be happy. Everyone's going to be like laughing at each other's costumes. Here's your chance to goof off and try some maybe a little more bold things that you haven't tried yet, and not be nearly as frightened to try it, because everyone is just gonna is in a great mood.
Yeah, I was really urge you. Oh, go ahead.
What are good guy Halloween costumes?
Dude, I'll tell you, there's not the best one I've ever worn. Still to this day, it was just last year. Dressing up with a group if you can, if not even just by yourself. Like the it's like a $30 costume with a $10 wig. You're the girls from Baywatch with a wig, and you have these big fake boobs, and it is so funny. Everyone wants to take pictures with you. Everyone's grabbing your boobs. Guys are buying you drinks because their girlfriend wants to come and touch your boobs and take pictures with you. It's so fun.
So,
yeah, so that's
Brett,
a really
like,
good one.
To get attention from women?
What's
oh,
that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Everyone. It's the most attention I've ever gotten. I've dressed up as some pretty cool things, but that was by far the most attention I've ever got.
Yeah, that was a fun way. And then one of our platonic girlfriends dressed up as David Hasselhoff with, like, fake abs and sunglasses. It was awesome. But, you know, no matter what you guys wear, for sure wear a costume. You know, you don't want to be the guy, if you can, you don't want to be the guy at the bar with no costume. You can still have success, but it'll just look more like you'll look less fun. So that's some kind of costume. Honestly, here's the thing. At the end of the day, it's not so much, if you don't have a costume that gets a ton of attention, it's not a huge deal. You know, I mean, the weekend is upon us. So if you don't have a costume that gets a ton of attention, just wear something and then talk to girls. You know, talk to them about their costume. For example, one Halloween that comes to my mind was, that's probably 5-6 years ago, in Lincoln, Nebraska, University of Nebraska, great college town. And all I wore were red and white striped overalls. I didn't really have anything else to wear. I wore overalls. Like, pretty lame, right? But I ended up meeting some really, really fun, really sexy girls that night. This is when I was first kind of getting better at this stuff, so I was like, okay, I'm going to meet girls. My costume was pretty lame, but the thing is that, well, one, I was wearing ones, but then, two, I could talk about their costume and really had a lot of fun. And I remember my roommate in college at the time, like I said, I was just kind of getting into this stuff. I think I'd just taken a program with Josh, was like, holy shit, what are you doing? Like, what, all these girls are talking to you and blah, blah, blah. And the thing is, I didn't have a great costume, but I was just willing to walk up and talk to them and start a conversation. So it's not a huge deal. If you don't have to have some groundbreaking costume. If you do, it's fun, and it makes your life a little easier. But as long as you're having fun, you're in some kind of costume, and you're talking to girls, you're going to have a great time, and it won't be a huge difference between that or having a great costume.
Yeah, I mean, I've been an angel. Kelly was a cow one year. He was just a giant cow with udders hanging off, and, dude, he got a ton of attention. It's like, it really doesn't matter. As long as you're dressed up, it gives a reason for people to talk to each other and do things they wouldn't normally do.
Yeah, and like Ray said earlier, I mean, try, if you guys want to put on like one of those masks that just covers your eyes, like one of the, what do they call those, like an opera, Phantom of the Opera type mask or something.
Masquerade?
Put on some, what's up?
Masquerade mask?
Yeah, I think so. One of the small masks where they can still kind of see your face, because you don't want to be walking up talking to girls wearing a full like rubber, you know, Freddy Krueger mask or something, because they can't see you at all. But if you just cover part of your eyes, what that'll do, one, it kind of provides some anonymity. If I'm saying that word right, that's always
anonymity.
Yeah, that one. So you guys, you know, if that's going to make you feel more comfortable, like, okay, she can't really see who I really am, yet she can still see part of your face, man, go for it and, you know, push the envelope. It's the one time of year where you can really push the envelope. If you want, you can hide behind a mask or face paint or something. And you know what? Here's the thing is, you'll hear guys say, oh, well, you don't hide behind something. Don't whatever. You know what? Fuck that. If you're at the point where that's going to make it easier for you, do it. Now, ultimately, once you're through your program and once you're, you know, beyond that, obviously we want you to be able to do that in daylight, dressed as a normal person without a mask on. But if that's where you find yourself right now, don't worry about it. That's fine. Go put a small mask on. Go push your comfort zone. Get really sexual. you know, do whatever, push your comfort zone, say some things that feel risky and feel scary to you because no one has to know who you are for one time a year. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I would say go out every night that's like the whole weekend and on Halloween if you can, because they drag this out for 3 or 4 days, and think about how many people you could approach on, like how many girls you could approach in those 4 days when, you know, you're feeling more confident about yourself because everyone's dressed up and having a good time. See, those are all going to be wins under your belt. They're going to make you feel a lot more confident, you know, next weekend when you go out. It's like a turbocharged weekend, so use it to your full advantage.
For sure. So let's get into, let's see, we got a few minutes left here. Let's get into just a couple examples. There's a million different things you guys can say. So anytime we give you examples, I just want to be clear that these aren't the only things to say, but they're possible things to say, possible conversations. So one thing that comes to my mind just sitting here, you know, costumeless with no girls around talking to you guys, is if you see a costume that maybe isn't considered sexy, quote unquote. So let's say, because there's a lot of like nurse, like you're a sexy nurse or police officer, whatever. If you see a costume that's not typical and not sexy, you could say, wow, or like let's say zombie, that's a good one. Say, wow, you are an exceptionally attractive zombie. Now, can I ask, do you stay underground longer, or what's the process to become a better looking zombie? Something just goofing around, like, wow, you're a good looking, but what's the method to getting good looking? Which makes no sense because she's not obviously a real zombie. But you can ask, like, how, you know, did you take advice from other zombies? Whatever the case may be. It's kind of silly. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's just a way to start a conversation in a lighthearted, fun way. Race, any ideas how do you like to start conversations with girls on Halloween?
It's always fun to go up and guess their costume wrong when they're very obvious. So that was always a fun one for me. Like, so if they're dressed up, like, I don't know, sexy nurse, like you're saying, being like, I don't know, you're a fireman or, I don't know. I just joke around and make it seem like, wait, what are you supposed to be? And then I'll be like, wait a minute, let me guess. And they just guess something so opposite or so different than what they are. And then they'll be like, no, I'm this. And be like, I guess I don't really see it. And just teasing like that, it's pretty fun. It's fun to go into role play and say, like, start like a superhero group with them. And you can like make up what their powers are and make it something really funny. That's always fun. And then you could go on with that all night. And maybe a certain drink gives you like boost your powers. So you could be like, I'm running low. All my powers. I'm just spitballing, making all this up right now, but this is all, it's about having fun, honestly. And just be able to do any of the craziest things you can think of and just try them out. This is a great weekend to try anything out, anything new, like anything that comes to your mind. Try and take off a little bit of that filter that you usually have going.
Yeah, for sure. One other Halloween that comes to my mind was, again, quite a few years back. And this is when I was starting to learn this stuff. I don't think I'd taken any kind of program or learned from anybody just yet, but I had finally found out, wow, this is, you know, meeting women is something I can do and people can improve at. So I was trying to get out and meet women. And I remember there was this girl who was extremely attractive, and I don't remember what she was dressed at, but she was showing a lot of cleavage, like a lot of girls do on Halloween. And she had a necklace and like hanging down between her boobs. And I grabbed her necklace, which meant me kind of caressing her boobs because it was right between them. And all I said, hey, and then I grabbed her necklace and I said, wow, this is a really cool necklace. What are you? That's all I said. And she was opened right up, like, oh, I'm this. And started talking and it ended up being a really good conversation. I think I got her phone number. I can't remember if I met up with her or not, but like, it's something that, you know, it doesn't have to be extremely high level. It doesn't have to be extremely clever. Like, just usually if you go up and say anything, you'll be surprised at the number of times that they'll actually be receptive, especially on Halloween. So don't feel like you have to have something super clever or super extraordinary. Like I said, all I said was, hey, and I grabbed her necklace and I said, what are you? I mean, that's about as unoriginal as you can get, but she did it really well. So keep in mind this weekend, like Ray says, try stuff. Go ahead and try anything, but don't get caught standing there thinking, okay, I need to think of something clever, or I need to think of something bold, or, you know, Adam and Ray said to get sexual and take a risk. And if you can't think of anything, go up and say whatever. Say, hey, wow, I like your costume. What are you? Or did you make it? You know, it doesn't matter. It's just a great time to actually get out and get a lot of approaches under your belt and start enjoying and experiencing being around attractive women.
Agreed. But please tell me someone on this call will dress up as a fairy godmother and go around granting wishes. Because that would be awesome. Because then you get to find out what their three wishes would be. Easy conversation starter. Then you
I
get to
like that. Or a genie.
I know. Yeah, but I think fairy godmother would be even funnier for the guy. But yeah, a genie would work too.
Or a tooth fairy.
Yeah.
You could offer to pull their teeth out. Women love that.
Oh, geez.
Okay, well, we have one other question I wanted to touch on real quick before we end the call here, because I think that a lot of you guys will benefit from it. We got a question that says, occasionally when qualifying a girl with a questions qualifier or something similar, like what do you do for fun, which is something we touched on last week, I'll get I don't know as a response. Because I thought I read somewhere that if she responds like this, it means there's not enough attraction. Any suggestions or responses? So, basically, one thing, and Race and I have chatted about this before, a lot of times you guys got to keep in mind when you're meeting a girl, let's say you're at Whole Foods or you're at wherever, a lot of times they're caught off guard. You know, so if you say, what do you do for fun? And she says, I don't know, that might not mean she's pushing you off. That might not mean she's not attracted. She might just be caught off guard. So, Race, you're really good at this. What are your thoughts on that?
I would say 9 out of 10 times is because she just can't think of anything. It's like when you think, you know, guys think, oh, you go to a bar, I can't think of anything to say. What do you think every girl there knows everything to say? They're thinking the same thing. Why do you think they wait for guys to come talk to them? A lot of times they don't know what to say either. So when you ask a question like that, they might not know right away. So saying, I don't know, is just her way of buying time because she hasn't thought of anything yet. So an easy way to work around that is like, just start offering suggestions, helping her out. Like saying, well, what do you do? Do you like, I don't know, play tennis, you know, horseback riding? And then I always throw, if I do it in groups of threes, I always throw in something really ridiculous at the end. So like a world-class origamist or whatever. Like, they'll always get a laugh out of that, but it gives them time to think and shows off your personality and gives them some options. So they'll be like, because sometimes they'll hear tennis and be like, no, I don't do tennis, but I love golf. You know, that will just jog their memory. So that's the easy way to get around it. And don't think that it's not that she's not attracted to you. 9 out of 10 times, really. Just seriously, she's been put on the spot. She can't think of anything. So just help her out. Give her a couple suggestions. Like I said, do it in groups of three. And the last one, make it just have a stock really funny thing that someone would do for fun. You could always throw out there. Have a couple of them. And it's always good for a laugh. Break the tension.
Awesome. Yeah, and also you guys have to keep in mind as you do this, you're going to come across differently than most, because most guys are doing the same thing. Most guys are doing iterations of the same thing, very close to the same. And so as you start to do some of these things, you're going to throw her for a loop often because you're saying different things. And if one thing, as this guy said on his email, is my body language is pretty solid, so, you know, why isn't she attracted to me? That's even more reason. If your body language is good and you're coming across in a confident, attractive manner, she might be a little nervous too. Because most guys are coming across, like I said, all the same way and not confident, not attractive, not someone that she might be interested in. So if you're coming across really strongly, that, guess what? Girls get nervous too. And so if, you know, she's it. What's up? Oh, I thought someone had a question. Okay. So you gotta keep that in mind too. I remember one time there was a girl that I met at a bar, and really, really, just really attractive woman. She is, you know, tall, blonde hair, green eyes, just really, really sexy. And this was, for some reason, I'm getting a lot of memories tonight of times years back when I was kind of still learning this stuff. But I had to meet her at a bar 3 times because I was too nervous to ask her out or ask her for a phone number. Because the first time I was talking to her, and she gave me real short answers, one-word answers, yeah, no. And I found out later, I was like, well, I never thought you liked me. And she's like, actually, I was just really nervous because I'd kind of seen you around the bar and, like, you seem like you're having fun, and I wanted you to talk to me. And when you finally did, I was just a little nervous and taken, you know, taken aback and caught off guard. And in my mind, I was like, shit, I thought this girl didn't like me. You know, for, and it took me literally three different bars seeing her. Luckily, I lived in kind of a small town. And really, she was just nervous. So women get nervous too. You know, help her through that. Like Ray said, what Ray said is awesome, is give her some suggestions. Help her through that. Just because she doesn't have a great answer the first time, that doesn't mean she's not into you. It actually might mean she's really into you and just is nervous, because how often is an attractive girl, and you can ask some of your attractive female friends this, how often is she around a guy that actually makes her nervous and actually comes across in a confident, masculine, fun, playful way? Not that often. Not that often. So if you're doing all these things right, you might just need to, like Grace said, give her some time to actually think and be there. Don't jump to the conclusion that she doesn't like you or she's not attracted. Does that make sense? Anyone else have any questions or thoughts on that? Okay, awesome. Well, I think that's where we'll end it tonight. You guys, unless anyone has any last-minute emergency questions, speak now or forever hold each other. Okay, sounds good. Well, hey, guys, thanks again for joining us on a Friday night. I had a lot of fun. We touched on some awesome things. Get out there. Here's your assignment for this until our next call. Get out there. It's Halloween. You have one shot at this until next year. So talk to at least five women. Just minimum ask them what their costume is. Ask them where they got it or if they made it. Or like Ray said, if you want to take it up a notch, ask them, you know, guess wrong, which is so funny and so awesome.